Sometime long ago, a woman bought a small hand-carved replica of Michelangelo's La Pietà. She paid 10 lire for it. How would the value of this carving change if I told you that it held a special place of honor on her bedside table? What if I told you that it was one of a very few precious things she was able to grab when the Germans occupied Italy in 1943, and that it was her touchstone to her homeland for the next 40 years? What would it be worth to you if this was your great-grandmother, who later passed this trinket on to her daughter, who passed it to her daughter, who has now passed it to you? When we talk about what something is worth, we often speak of terms of cost or value. But they're not quite the same thing, are they? When we speak of cost, it's the amount of money or time or effort or resources that are spent in order to obtain something. Whereas value is a perceived benefit, usefulness, or worth of something. Cost is objective. She paid 10 lira for it. Value is subjective. What did that little carving mean to this woman? Cost is transactional because, quite simply, she bought it. Value is existential. This carving represented for her her homeland and everything that grounded her. It gave her roots, even when she was torn far away from home. Cost is finite. The money she spent on that carving would always be 10 lira, today or 40 years from now. Value is infinite. The value of that object was immeasurable to her and to her family, and it only increased over time and as it was shared through her lineage. Now, objectively, Mary's jar of perfume was worth 300 denarii. That's a lot of money. Subjectively, what did using that jar of perfume to anoint Jesus' feet mean to Mary? With 300 denarii, she certainly could have bought another jar. But what she did held value far beyond that, to her, to Jesus, and to all in that room who witnessed that act. And when in an address to Hamilton College last week, former President Barack Obama noted that for most of our lives, it's been easy to say we're in support of something, and it's cost us little or nothing to do so. But then he goes on, and he says, now we're at one of those moments where it's not enough just to say you're for something. You may actually have to do something and possibly sacrifice a little bit. Paul knew something of sacrifice. His gains made him a highly respected, prestigious religious leader and a teacher of Jewish law. And yet, he gave all of that up. He accounted it as nothing, as rubbish, compared to the value of knowing Jesus. He turned his back on everything in his past, all he knew, to focus on his future. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So then this brings up the question, what do you value? And what's it worth to you? Now, does anyone know who Cory Booker is? I heard a giggle. Had anyone heard that name before last week? So Cory Booker is a U.S. senator from New Jersey, who last week, delivered the longest speech in U.S. Senate history. 25 hours and 5 minutes, surpassing the record that Senator Strom Thurmond set when he filibustered against the Civil Rights Act in 1957. Given this, it should be noted, too, that Senator Booker is a man of color. Now, I don't bring this up to talk about right or left, Republican or Democrat, because I know we're of all stripes here. But I also know this. Our call from Jesus transcends these divisions we create that set us against each other. In fact, it seeks to draw us together in what we hold in common instead of tearing us apart. Our values are founded on the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, Senator Booker embodied these values that day on the Senate floor. And it's what he's done throughout his life. Camped out in a tent during a hunger strike for 10 days in one of the worst drug dealing areas in the city of Newark. Shoveled snow himself from an elderly father's driveway because one of his constituents asked him to find someone to do it. Saved a woman from a house fire, suffering second-degree burns to his hands. Or in the wake of Hurricane Sandy, when he invited citizens of Newark who had no electricity to eat and sleep in his house. Our faith calls us to love God and our neighbors, and especially our enemies. To seek and serve Christ in all persons. To strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human being. Now, if these are our core values, then our lives, the way we treat each other, the way that we interact with each other, all should reflect them. And sharing them, or proclaiming by word and example the good news of God in Christ. That's also what we're called to do. But what will it cost us? For Paul, his unwavering faith in Christ demanded a significant personal cost, including persecution, imprisonment, and ultimately a martyr's death. He faced hardship. He endured suffering, and he sacrificed his own comfort and safety for the sake of his beliefs and the spread of the gospel. It's reasonably unlikely today that living our faith will be quite as costly as it was to Paul. But it is likely that we will endure personal costs, giving to charity, enduring hardship, giving up ego or desires or our old ways of thinking to gain something that Paul inherently knew was of surpassing value. And that value only grows the more we live into it and the more we can share it with others. Now, take just as an example that loaf of bread, wherever it is right now. There it is. What's it cost now? Who made it? Did you make it? I thought so. What'd you pay for it?
I don't know. A bag of flour, but you take out a little bit.
Yeah, not much. Yeah. Now, what is its value after we've prayed over it and invoked the Holy Spirit upon it? What's its value after we've shared it together? One of the holiest moments on these Sundays for me is in sharing the Eucharist. And I can't ever help but smile when I bring bread or wine to some of you, any of you, all of you. Look what I have. Look what we get to share together. In that moment, every single time my heart is full, and all these things that we do to divide and separate ourselves, all these things that set us against each other and push us apart, all of those things are set aside just for that moment. And in that moment, we're drawn together And we find common ground, because that's where we stand. What do you value? What's it worth to you? Now, as we go forward from this place into the wilderness and the deserts that threaten to tear us from one another, let's take with us and live into that moment of holy unity. Let's strive to count not the cost, but to recognize its value. To forget what lies behind, strain forward to what lies ahead. Open our eyes to the new things that God is doing in our midst. Let us press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.